First of all, let me welcome Dr. Mixologist to the program. Daryl, great to see you.
Thomas, great to see you as always, man. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think I have seen so many bottles outside of a bar in a very long time. You've brought a treasure trove with you today.
I have a lot of friends.
That's fantastic. That's really super. So now, what would you recommend for that sweet pepper stuffed with peanut butter? What would you pair with that?
That sounds delicious, and I do have this crazy sweet tooth. I would almost want to go extreme with some kind of ice cream dessert cocktail.
Okay.
So I would probably pick something with some really cool caramel and chocolate swirls inside of it, and then I would dress it with a really nice liqueur spirits combination. So maybe we use a little caramel vodka, maybe a little caramel Godiva, caramel Baileys, create a nice little drizzle on top of that ice cream and just kind of like, you know, pair them up side by side.
Uh-huh.
A little extreme, but, you know, different.
See, I knew I couldn't stump you. I thought it was going to be a little bit more difficult for you to come up with, especially on the fly like that. But no, you're good in the pinch.
Absolutely not. And that's a great cocktail because, guys, what? You don't have to muddle anything. You just have to pour equal portions of everything, and you have the great topping for your ice cream.
So now, how does the home host who's throwing a party, maybe it's a backyard barbecue, mm-hmm. a picnic, who wants to have some fun, wants to, you know, break out of the easy red and white wine kind of solutions and do some fun cocktails? How do they do that without completely monopolizing their time where they're standing at the bar the entire time?
My number one advice to anyone throwing any kind of social is have a punch.
Mm.
That punch is something that can sit on your countertop, your friends can serve themselves,
mm-hmm.
while you go in the kitchen and try to be creative over something that you may want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Rums are obviously the classic way to go with a punch,
yes.
But vodkas, flavored vodkas, fresh fruit. You know what? We all have liquor cabinets at home, mm-hmm. with tons of things in it, and we're going, what do I do with it? Well, here's the party.
Right.
At this party, you know, put things together that make sense. I wouldn't start mixing necessarily bourbons with the rums and the gins because that may be too extreme. But
yes.
Pick one of those spirits.
Uh-huh.
Pick some really nice fruit-forward juices, pineapple, mango, a little white grape juice. All those things work so well together. It won't overwhelm a cocktail, and they're fresh, they're fruity. And at a party, that's the easy way to get it started. Then you can go in the kitchen and start playing mad scientist and making individual cocktails.
That sounds
fun. Because
you're
a mixologist.
So, okay, now you talk about those kind of liqueurs that are in the back that maybe the labels are frayed and dusty and you don't even remember what they are or where you got them. You obviously need to do a little bit of experimenting before you serve them and thrust them upon your guests.
Absolutely, because some people think alcohol never goes bad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've never had a situation where I've actually tasted something that was 8 or 10 years old beyond its actual production date, and it turned me off. It did lose certain amounts of texture, flavors, maybe potency, but pretty much a bottle of rum or gin that you've opened up for a while and it's been sitting there for a while, it's not bad. It doesn't turn like milk.
Mm-hmm.
It just loses some of its properties.
Right.
So that being said, you know, you want to keep it fresh,
yes.
So maybe some of those things you... Again, the punch, because uh-huh. the punch, you can camouflage certain mistakes. And that's why I say things like pineapple, mango, cranberry, grape juices, you know, flavors that kind of like almost want to take over the punch, and everybody's drinking and going, well, what's in this? And you're like saying, yeah, what is it?
I don't really know. Couldn't tell you.
The what's in it punch.
Do you like it? Couldn't duplicate it, but I'm glad you're enjoying it. So now, are there certain things, apart from something that might be really have lived well beyond its shelf life, are there things that people should just toss out that, you know, maybe it's awful gels or powders or, you know, I think the trend now certainly is for fresher ingredients. For the home bartender, are there things that you should kind of just assess your inventory and say, okay, time for this to go. We've moved beyond these sort of ingredients.
I'm going to admit one thing. I'm no great cook, but I'm this wonderful mixologist. So if you swung open my refrigerator, there are tons of infusions.
Mm-hmm.
And I infuse fruit into alcohol. I make my own simple syrups, and simple syrups, guys, just half portions of sugar and water. But I also flavor those,
mm-hmm.
with mint, with berries, and things like that. I would like to think they last till the end of time in my fridge, but no. I would say after 3 to 4 weeks with most of these infusions, okay, they start to take on a different type of personality that I'm not exactly thrilled about. So I try to use anything that I infuse and make fresh at home, especially alcohol-based or those simple syrups, within a 3 to 4 week period, just, mm-hmm, you know, just so it's fresh.
Okay.
You know, and I don't have a problem because I'm always having some kind of cocktail social. So things going bad in my fridge is not a problem.
Again, looking at the amount of bottles you've got with you here today, that does not surprise me in the least.
No. Like I said, and these are all fresh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
And ready to go. The only thing I brought along with me, in addition to these bottles, are tons of fresh juices. Guys, it's very important to keep it fresh, if you can. I mean, I try not to use prepackaged or sweetened juices that just don't give you that zestiness that you're looking for. The summertime is here. We've gone through this really, really cold winter. Let's enjoy these fresh fruits that are out right now.
Mm-hmm.
And because I may use a lemon or a lime, you can use something else. Use a kiwi or, you know, a key lime, whatever is freshest in your market. Go to the farmer's market and find out what's good, what's happening there.
And are there certain tools and bartender items that everybody should have? Just simple things that you need to be able to be an amateur mixologist.
You know what? I think I'm still learning as I go, and I think I'm there, but, you know, you still learn. I don't really use jiggers, and jiggers are little measuring devices so that you can pour exact pours.
Mm-hmm.
Some people don't trust their free pour.
Right.
I free pour.
Yeah.
You know, or I have pour spouts on top, and I may do a 3 or 4 count, okay, to get my ounce or ounce and a half. That being said, if you can't free pour, if you can't do a visual, and most people can't because most people are not bartenders or mixologists.
Sure.
It might be smart to get some kind of measuring device so you can measure out half an ounce, 3/4 of an, mm-hmm, ounce, an ounce and a half. You know, if you go a little bit over or under, you can always correct again with a little more of the mixer.
Yeah.
But the thing is not to overwhelm your guests. You know, I believe in having a great time, but having that great time responsibly. So the thing is, I want people to enjoy a well-made drink, but it needs to be balanced.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so often I'll obviously taste something like a punch before I put it out. You know, back in the college days, we didn't really care what it was. You know, you got the garbage can and put the plastic bag in it and just,
right,
everybody just dumped in their favorite whatever. And, you know, it worked. We're still here. Nobody, uh-huh, died. But guys, in the grown-up world, we want to do a little bit better job than that.
A little more sophisticated.
A little bit more sophisticated.
So take us through, and then for those of you who are just tuning in, we are speaking with Dr. Mixologist Daryl Robinson, host of Drink Up on the Cooking Channel, and he is going to be taking us through a whole series of fantastic summer cocktails. They are colorful, they are delicious, and they are all duplicable at your summer barbecue this weekend, your picnics, your parties that you're having. If you have a question for us, if you think maybe you want to try stumping Dr. Mixologist, I had a very difficult time doing so. I failed in that task. Give us a call and see if maybe you can do better than I did. We're at 866-675-6675. And of course, if you'd like any of the recipes that we're going to be going through today, please do email us for those recipes. We'll happily send them out to you at livingtoday@marthastewart.com. So, Daryl, what? Oh my gosh, this is this beautiful. Is this Saint Germain that you're pouring there?
Saint Germain is one of the liqueurs going into this first cocktail, which I walked in on you saying it was a pincushion. Absolutely correct. So a pincushion, and I called it a pincushion because I'm using kiwis.
Okay.
When you muddle kiwis, those little black seeds that are inside of the actual kiwis, if you can see over here, Thomas,
yes,
you can,
yeah,
they kind of float at the top. So it kind of reminds me of pincushions in something.
Okay.
So I just wanted to give it a really funky, funny kind of name. So it's going to have fresh muddled kiwi. So you got to do a little work with this one, guys.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Two liqueurs, Saint Germain, which is one of the hottest liqueurs on the market right now. It's an, uh-huh, elderflower-based liqueur.
Uh-huh.
It almost makes anything better. But we're going to also combine it with a melon liqueur. And then we're going to also add vodka to this. I'm using a really nice premium vodka called Sobieski. And for about $10.99, guys, you can get pretty good qualities these days. You don't have to, you know, spend $35, $40 on a vodka anymore.
Okay.
Your liqueurs are going to range anywhere between $12 to maybe $20, $22. But remember, if you're making a punch or you're making cocktails, mm-hmm, you'll get several drinks out of this. So it's not like you're breaking the bank. I mean, if you went out to the bar and tried to do the same thing we're going to do here at home, in a bar, you're going to spend about $300 on this, whereas at,
wow,
home, you're going to maybe spend about $55 to $65.
That's reasonable.
Okay, maybe add another $10 more for some of the fresh fruit, but you're going to get the drink made right, and you're going to get more quantity for your money.
Yeah.
So, once again, we added 1.5 ounces of vodka, 1/2 ounce of Saint-Germain, 1/4 ounce of melon liqueur, and then we popped in a little bit of lime juice, and that was maybe about 1/2 ounce of that. Fresh lime juice, guys. Now, I'm a fan of muddling a lot of times, but you don't have to necessarily muddle your limes. You can buy the fresh lime juice in places like Whole Foods or farmers markets, and they're made pretty much close to that date. So you don't have to really worry about something sitting on the shelf too long. And once you open it, obviously refrigerate it. And this is one of those things you have to keep an eye on too, guys, because once you put it in your fridge, I would use it within a week's time. Once that air starts to hit it and it starts to oxidize, it does start to turn a little bit. Okay, so we have all of our ingredients in here, the kiwis, the limes, the Maduri, the Saint Germain. And the only thing we're missing is a little ice. And guys, I like a two-part shaker called a Boston shaker, and there are all types of shakers. Some have strainers at the top, some don't. Some come with a 16-ounce pint glass and a 22-ounce tin connector, which is what I have right here. And this is the part where you really have your fun. Mm-hmm. You get your sexy on when you shake, okay? So I have these big arms in here, which you can't see, but just imagine this nice, handsome guy with big arms shaking.
This is vigorous.
And you know when it's done because the outside of the tin generally gets a little chill factor going on, and you're pretty much good at that point. I'm going to strain a couple of cocktails in. This would be a martini, guys. So you're going to put this in a martini glass.
And now, Dr. Mixologist, I know there's a trick for getting that shaker off the glass, right? So that we don't actually break the glass when we're removing it.
A lot of times, because when you shake, it expands a little bit. All you do is just hit it.
Okay.
Hit it on the sides, and it loosens. Don't bang it against the counter. I've seen that done so many times. And, guys, you will eventually, like, slip and hit the glass, and even though they tend to be tempered, they will break.
Okay. So, but is there a sweet spot on the glass? Sweet spot where people can hit it, and it's the magical spot where it's going to pop right off?
You know what? If it were upside down and it's like this, well, you really can't see. If you're holding it from the glass portion, you can hit the tin part,
right,
and that will do it. If you're the other way, you know, just somewhere in that middle. I wouldn't go top heavy because it's probably not going to move, but just in the middle somewhere just to get it a little bit loose.
Okay.
But that's one type of shaker. If you don't want to do this type of shaker, there's some Boston shakers that actually have built-in strainers, which also work.
Okay. All right, so now we are enjoying this wonderful cocktail party here. We've got my producer, Naomi, and engineer, Chris. We're all sampling these wonderful cocktails together, and I guess we're going to see if we feel like we're being stuck by pincushions as we're drinking. Hopefully not, but it looks absolutely beautiful. It's got this wonderful kind of light lime green color, which I guess is the lime juice mixing with the elderflower liqueur.
And the melon as well.
Mm-hmm.
The melon,
mm-hmm,
which is green, so you have the kiwi, and so it makes a very visually attractive cocktail.
And the kiwi seeds in there are nice. They give it a nice texture.
So what do you think?
I think this could be a winner. I think, you know, especially if you like that strong kind of citrusy taste, I think this is really great. It's clean. It's not too strong, not overly sweet. Chris, I know you are a big cocktail fan. What are your thoughts on cocktail number one?
I think it's pretty, you know, it's funny. I kind of hedged a little bit because I was like, well, you know, it could be a little overly sweet, especially when you add the Maduri. But I think everything, you know, in good measure, and the overall flavor is really good. And now you say you kind of serve this up in a cocktail glass, but I could even see on a hot summer day, you could even dilute this a little bit with a little bit of like fresh ice, maybe in like a kind of a cooler.
It can go in a cooler. And the other thing is when you go to the website, you may actually see club soda or Sprite,
right,
or Prosecco as an option in it. So it just gives you variations on it. Mm-hmm. I don't want anybody to ever think a cocktail can only be made one way. Even classics, you can do your own personal spin.
Like as it is now, I imagine it towards like if you're, I don't know why I always do this, but I'm always like, I imagine this towards the evening. But if you wanted to do it kind of in a cooler style where you wanted to top it with something like a little Prosecco and you have put a little ice in a nice tall Collins glass, then that's like a great thing for kind of a, you know, like an afternoon kind of gathering, like if you're having people over on like 4th of July or Memorial Day.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And it goes on easy. Yes.
Yeah, that was I think, a winner. That was a winner. And so super simple to prepare. You whip that up in the span of, you know, just a couple of minutes there.
Ultra easy. I mean, if I can talk and make a cocktail at the same time, trust me, it's easy.
And is that the kind of thing that you could do in large batches, or do these need to be done one at a time?
This I would batch. Like I said, if you did add the soda or Prosecco option, that I would add at the end as you actually pour the cocktail, because it would go flat right. If you made it in a big punch bowl. Uh-huh. But for a party, I would definitely batch this. This is easy. Ladle it in and maybe splash a little bit of, like I said, Prosecco, Sprite, or club soda at the top.
Okay.
I have the sweeter tooth, so I may have gone for the Sprite. Mm-hmm. You know, some people want things a little drier, so the Prosecco would have, you know, fit into that. Yeah. And then the club soda if you didn't want the extra kick from the alcohol, go with club soda.
Okay, gotcha.
Yes.
Okay. So, and that doing the Prosecco at the very end, that will maintain the effervescence.
Oh, yes, definitely. Definitely. Anything sparkling that you put into a cocktail, always add last so that it maintains the sparkling factor that you're trying to add.
Mm-hmm. And it's, gosh, that's a whole lot cheaper than pouring champagne.
Ooh, Prosecco is definitely the way to go. That's the new buzzword right now. Everybody's ordering Prosecco, Prosecco, Prosecco. I mean, basically the bubbles, I think, tend to be a little bit smaller. Some people will argue with that. Mm-hmm. Champagne bubbles are bigger, obviously, so it fills the mouth. Prosecco works well in the cocktail because those bubbles are smaller. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't really overwhelm the cocktail.
Yeah. We've been talking with Dr. Mixologist Daryl Robinson, who is host of Drink Up on the Cooking Channel. We are going through a whole wonderful series of colorful cocktails that he's doing for us right here in studio. And he's also taking your calls. If you've got a cocktail question, this is the guy. You have come to the doctor. Yesterday we had the sleep doctor. Today we have the cocktail doctor. So give us a call. We're at 866-675-6675. I think we have time for one more cocktail before we go to break. And this one, as we talked about earlier, this is the healer.
The healer.
What are we healing here?
You know, I thought of a unique name for this only because we're using pomegranate seeds. And pomegranate is like the new superfood. Mm-hmm. Well, not new. It's been out for a while. But obviously, it's being discovered in the mixology world. Mm-hmm. So this is a cocktail which will have muddled pomegranate at the bottom and pomegranate seeds.
Yum.
And, you know, you just want to muddle them slightly just to burst the outside of the seed and get all of that juice going on. Again, we're going to use fresh juices in this, and this one is going to have about, I'd say, a half an ounce of lemon juice.
Mm-hmm. And is that fresh lemon juice that you're pouring
in? Fresh lemon juice. Like I said, you guys, you can go the more difficult route and muddle it, or you can buy fresh lemon juice and lime juice, which is readily available in most markets. Again, mm-hmm. Whole Foods, farmers markets, or any fresh market in your area. So remember, fresh, 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 fresh. This one is going to need to be sweetened up a little bit because pomegranate seeds, although tasty and juicy, Thomas, sometimes they tend just to be a little bit too tart.
Very tangy.
And once again, I have that sweet tooth, so I need to sweeten it up just a touch.
Now, is it easy to find the pomegranate seeds this time of year? They're not really in season anymore.
You know what? I find them already shelled and on the shelf. I mean, I see a lot of whole pomegranates.
Right.
But my problem with the whole ones is you really can't see what they look like.
Yeah.
And you get them home or you get them to wherever you're going, and if they're not right, you're stuck.
And so, they're a pain to extract those seeds. I love them, but boy, that's an operation. And don't wear white. You're opening up your pomegranate.
Oh my God, definitely don't wear white because you're going to get it on you. And what am I wearing today?
White. You're not taking your own advice. Great. So, okay. So we just got the pomegranate seeds in there. Next, what do we got?
We're going to add some Palma liqueur to it as well. And Palma is one of the other new hot liqueurs on the market, just like a Saint Germain, which is elderflower, or Canton, which is ginger. Palma is pomegranate.
Okay.
So we're going to add about, I'd say, a healthy half an ounce of that. And we're going to round this out again with a vodka, and a flavor vodka this time.
You look so confident just pouring. You know, I would not. I've got one of these glasses at home that's got the lines on the side that indicates how many, you know, for each cocktail, how many of this you put in, how many of that you put in. I don't think I'm quite to the level of you, just kind of a dash of this, a dash of that.
Thomas, I started with all those measuring devices, trust. I mean, no one starts off just pouring. I mean, you do have to find your stride and be comfortable with it. There's nothing worse than making a drink and second-guessing yourself and having to remake it or fix it, because then you kind of look silly.
Yeah.
Okay. So now this is the part where we get to where we shake again, right?
And we're shaking.
All right, cool.
Vigorous.
He's getting quite the workout over there.
Vigorous shaking.
That was vigorous. All right. Normally what I like to do before I start sharing my cocktails, though, guys, the first one I kind of just let it fly, Thomas. I'm going to actually give this one a quick taste.
All right, little test to see if it passes muster.
And you should always do that, right? Like, I mean, at home, because I mean, we always say like to do that when you're kind of cooking a recipe. Like, when I'm making spaghetti sauce, let's say, like, I'm always tasting along the way.
Mm-hmm. Chefs do that all the time, so why not bartenders?
Do you have to rescue cocktails, or do you just kind of start over?
Oh, no, you can rescue a cocktail. I find one of the main fixers for most cocktails when they have gone wrong is maybe a little bit of pineapple juice or a little bit of orange juice. If that doesn't fix it, then generally you probably do need to start over.
Okay.
And those are only for drinks that require citrus. Otherwise, other drinks like martinis and Manhattans, pineapple in that. No.
I can only imagine somebody's like, this martini is off. You know what? I'm going to put a little pineapple juice.
No. Because I heard Dr. Mixologist, and don't put my name on that one. No, thank you.
Do you find, obviously this is something that you're doing for a living, you do it all the time, do you find each batch does have a different quality from the previous one that you've done, or do you find that you're able to achieve real consistency, and does it matter? Should people really obsess with how equally tasting one cocktail is to the next?
I think the bottom line is that the cocktail just be good.
Right.
You know, I could show 20 bartenders how to make this particular drink right here, and I can guarantee you that there will be 20 different variations.
Yeah, okay.
And they could all be good variations, but they will be variations.
Right.
What you try to do when you talk to bartenders or anybody mixing cocktails is just give them a general reference point with the recipe on where to go.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay, now this looks beautiful as well. This looks a little bit like almost like a pink lemonade with then of course all the pomegranate seeds at the bottom of it. Little fizzy, little effervescence going on.
But there's no club soda in this. I just shook it to death.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So we're gonna all in the studio see if we feel healed.
Okay.
the healer. What do you think, Chris?
It was good. So what did you? You said you like on the sweeter side. So what did you use to kind of take a little bit of the tartness out of the?
What I use is agave syrup.
Okay.
You buy agave nectar, and once again, like your simple syrup, I use half agave nectar and half water just to break down that nectar. Otherwise, this would be crazy sweet.
Okay.
So you do want that sweet factor, but you don't want to feel like you're drinking a glass of sugar.
Mm-hmm.
So that tones it down just a little bit. And once again, we're using pomegranate seeds. Why not use agave nectar, which is natural?
Right, right.
As opposed to just regular granulated sugar. You know, let's face it. When you start adding alcohol to anything, it probably loses most of its medicinal values. But we did just crush fresh pomegranates. We did add agave. So it does have, you know, that healing feeling going on.
Antioxidants. Antioxidant rich.
Yes.
And now, in the summertime, do people tend to favor the sweeter drinks? As the weather gets warmer, is that something that people gravitate to?
I just find cocktails in general, if you err on the sweeter side, you'll at least capture 80% of that market. And then there's that 20% that probably would prefer something a little less sweet. Everybody always says, you know, I want a balanced drink. I want a balanced cocktail.
Mm-hmm.
You have to read in between those lines and look at what they're actually ordering.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're ordering cosmopolitans and apple martinis and sex on the beach, if I offer you a cocktail, I know you're probably not looking for a dry martini.
Right, right.
So in a cocktail market, it's just important to understand your guests, understand your friends, and give them something that you think they're really going to enjoy.
Mm-hmm. And I guess another fun thing that we can do, we talked about, of course, having a punch that's ready, that's low maintenance. You do it right before. You toss in your Prosecco at the last minute if need be. But another great thing to do, I guess, is to create a little cocktail-making station with the recipe visible where people can come up and you have your kind of one signature cocktail for the party and have people try their hand at being, you know, their own mixologist.
I love to invite people into the kitchen. I'm not that guy who's like, oh my God, it's off limits to you. No, please come in because, you know, first off, help is help.
right. Hey, so, you were pretty good at that. You want to do the next 20 of those?
There you go. So, you know, and I have a lot of friends and people that I meet, acquaintances, that all kind of want to learn a little bit about the trade. And I'm like, you know, come on in. I'll show them how to pour. Generally, they're generous with their pours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if I want to hire them in my bar because they might give away my bar, but at home, that's okay.
Right.
You know, and with the recipes, I do find most people, when you give them a recipe, they can follow it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they get this real serious look on their face, yes. And I'm just like, dude, relax.
There's no bad results.
No, there are no bad results.
Well, we have been speaking with Dr. Mixologist Daryl Robinson, host of Drink Up on the Cooking Channel, and he is whipping up some amazing cocktails for us. We've got a bunch still more coming up. I hope you'll stay tuned. And coming up, we have the Summer Sunrise, the Mint Julep, and the Negroni. So stand by for those. Coming right up. Welcome back to Living Today. I am Thomas Farley, Mr. Manners, and we have been sipping the wonderful cocktail creations of Dr. Mixologist Daryl Robinson, host of Drink Up on the Cooking Channel. And we've just gone through a wonderful series of cocktails. First one was the Pincushion. I'm just tingling thinking about it. The Healer, which we definitely needed after the Pincushion. And we're going to actually switch things up a little bit. We've got a brand new cocktail that he's prepared, which it uses blueberries, which is great because blueberries are coming into season in so many parts of the country right now. One of my favorite fruits. I'm so excited. And then also going to be talking about the classic Negroni I mentioned earlier. That's a cocktail that's celebrating its 100th anniversary this year and kind of enjoying a little bit of a rediscovery resurgence this year. And then we're going to finish things off, of course, with the classic. For those of you who still aren't quite ready to take that cocktail leap, we're going to be talking about a Beaujolais wine, which is absolutely delicious and perfect for a picnic or a barbecue. But of course, if you do have a call for Daryl Robinson, you want to give us a call at 866-675-6675. He's taking your questions with, those cocktail conundrums, things that you you haven't been able to perfect yourself. This Mr. Mixologist is ready to answer any questions you might have. So, Daryl, we are, I guess, returning now with the Negroni. Tell us a little bit more about the history of the Negroni.
Negroni is a classic cocktail. It's been around for probably about 100 years. One of its key components is Campari. And Campari is basically a bitters guy. So if you've seen stuff like Angostura bitters, Campari is kind of along those particular lines. But Campari's got a very, very, very long history. It dates back maybe about 150 years ago. It's got about 60 components that make it up. So this classic Negroni, and Campari basically indigenous of Italy.
So
it's an Italian aperitif, and supposedly that's a digestive that you have before a meal to, you know, increase your appetite and get you ready for that delicious steak or whatever you're going to have.
Okay. Not that any of us ever need to increase our appetites.
No, we don't.
We need to decrease the appetite sometimes.
Exactly. So what I think this cocktail does, and it's all liqueur-based and alcohol-based, and it might be kind of scary at first, Thomas,
right.
But the bottom line is such a unique balance between these three, gin, Campari, and sweet vermouth.
Okay.
And you're using equal portions of each one of these things.
Oh, so that's nice and easy.
Exactly. And remembering that liqueurs are lower in alcohol content than a actual spirit, you're not being overwhelmed.
Right, okay.
So it's three equal portions. And I'm just going to ice a glass over here.
Okay.
I like to use a really dry gin. So anything dry that's not too sweet or too fruity is probably a really good gin.
How important is the glassware for these? Again, especially if we're thinking about it, we're at a picnic, we're at a barbecue, maybe we're at the beach. What are we doing for glassware? Do we need to go crazy with martini glasses or rock glasses?
Traditionally, this could be served in a martini glass,
okay.
But over the years, it's been on the rocks. It's been in little small cocktail glasses. I like it on the rocks because, once again, it is all spirits. I don't mind a little ice melting in my cocktail as I'm going, so I'm not feeling overwhelmed.
Okay.
No ice. I tend to sweat more. It gets warm fast. This drink is the kind of drink that I just enjoy very, very chilled.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm going to make this on the rocks.
Okay. And something I've been seeing a lot lately, too, is very large ice cubes so that they don't melt as frequently, as regularly as the smaller ice cubes do, watering the drink down.
Exactly. And something like a Negroni, you do want a little bit of that to happen.
Okay.
But also, you're not going to vigorously shake this. You're just going to kind of stir it.
Gotcha.
So if you guys have the long bar spoon, that'd be great, or use a tablespoon or anything else that's long at home. And if you do decide to do any kind of mixing with it, just do a simple back and forth. This is not where you lock the tin to the glass and shake. Back and forth. Just once or twice. and then you have it.
Okay, now, so the arms get a little rest on this one.
There you go. You don't have to, you know, shake until the cows come home on this one.
Okay.
Once again, I'm going to taste. What I like about Negronis is I really do want to taste the Campari.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to taste the gin. So what I'm going to do is give it, no, not that I don't want to taste the gin, but I just don't want it to overpower the drink.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, I free pour. And I think I have a really good balance here.
Okay.
I think you're going to taste the Campari. You're going to taste the sweet vermouth. And it's going to be backed up just slightly by the Campari.
So the juniper notes and the gin are going to be largely absent from this cocktail.
Well, mostly. You've got to remember, Campari with 60 components of its own can definitely hold its own weight.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That's why you're not looking to find a gin that's going to overpower this cocktail.
Right.
You do want to enjoy Campari.
Okay. Yeah.
And Campari is in such a resurgence right now. You know, I mean, it kind of had a lull for a while,
mm-hmm.
but I think it's really on an uptick right now.
Right.
More and more bartenders are using it.
Mm-hmm. These look beautiful, too.
And once again, this is a simple drink, guys. If you serve it on the rocks or up, it should always get like a nice little orange garnish. I like to actually squeeze mine into the drink.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to go ahead and squeeze into this drink as well.
It almost looks like a rosé in color. It's got that really kind of rich pink hue to it. It's not super fizzy,
no.
like the first two cocktails were. And you're now dropping the orange slice in there.
Well, remember, we didn't shake these, so it's not going to have any kind of like foaminess at the top or anything like that. It's going to be a very... This is like basic cocktail 101.
Mm-hmm.
You can pour equal portions of everything.
Mm-hmm.
You got it.
How important is the garnish for keeping the cocktail both tasty and alluring to the eye?
With all of the ingredients going on in this drink, I think you need that orange to add that fresh zestiness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to overpower it, but it's just going to add that added extra little dimension.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you and I have seen you at the Manhattan Cocktail Classic where we enjoyed Negronis.
Mm-hmm.
They were probably made 20 different ways.
Right, right.
But, you know, I think that each one either had an orange twist, an orange slice, whether the orange rested on the glass or in the glass. I kind of like just to squeeze it in there. I want that little extra fresh kick.
Mm-hmm. And this has got, it's got the citrus notes. It's also got a little bit of a smoky taste to it, smoky
yes.
flavor.
Yes, it does. I mean, because like I said, once again, Campari covers so many bases in the flavoring of it. It's a secret recipe, secret 60 ingredient recipe, mm-hmm. but... You know, I mean, I think it covers so many different notes.
Mm-hmm.
And whether you do it on the rocks or you do it in a Negroni, Campari hasn't been around for 150 years because people don't like it. They love it.
Well, you know, what I love about this cocktail is how layered it is. I feel like as I continue to taste it on the back of the tongue, it continues awaken different sensations for me.
And it will open up the more you drink it. I mean, mm-hmm. it develops its own little personality from the first taste to the last taste.
So, you know, that sounds like a really good line to give to somebody who thinks you're drinking too. Well, I'm waiting for it to open up because the more I drink it, the more it's going to open up. I don't know. Do you think that work or does that sound like you're rationalizing?
I think in a world of cocktail tasting, people like to feel like they're part of that scene. So opening it up, fruit forward, zesty. You know, the finish. You know, we're almost grabbing words from the wine world and describing right. cocktails today, you know?
This is the lingo. Chris, what do you think? You happy with the drink?
Well, I definitely am. I mean, I think months ago, I had already declared that this is my Negroni summer.
Oh, perfect.
And it seems like it's been kind of confirmed. I mean, the Negroni is definitely making a comeback, as well as like these kind of more, these bitter kind of spirits like Campari or Aperol.
Aperol's a close second. Yes, it is. Yeah. A little sweeter.
I'm excited. I mean, everything about it, the color is very much like a summer sunset
mm-hmm.
sky, and it's got that kind of flavor where it's got, I don't know, it's a little sweet, it's a little bitter, it's got a little bit of a fruit thing to it because the citrus and the orange peel. I think it's perfect.
I really like it. I think it's very sophisticated. It's one of those kind of cocktails because it has been kind of hidden for so long or overlooked for so long that I think it's a really neat way to get your guests buzzing about, gosh, what is this taste?
Because Americans by nature tend to gravitate on sweeter sides. And when you tell people Campari is a bitter, mm-hmm. that kind of, they run the opposite direction.
Mm-hmm.
And once you explain that, you know what? It actually is a very viable ingredient in a cocktail and it has some history and it's 150 years old, guys.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's not something new. It's not like a sour apple pucker of some sort. It's new.
Yes.
And there's nothing wrong with sour apple pucker, but those are newer variances on the market.
Yes. Well, so we have a doctor in the house, but he is a doctor of mixology. We're talking with Daryl Robinson, Dr. Mixologist, who is preparing a wonderful batch of summer cocktails for us in studio, which we are thoroughly enjoying. He's also taking your phone calls. We're at 866-675-6675. We've got a call, actually, from Dorothy in New Jersey. Dorothy, welcome to Living Today.
Oh, thank you, Thomas. I'm enjoying your show. And I just wanted to ask Daryl if on our honeymoon, which was like 42 years ago, we were in Bermuda and we bought rum and whiskey and vodka and things of that nature. And it seems like years ago when we first were entertaining, we would make daiquiris and whiskey sours for guests. And then the trend kind of went towards red wine and white wine. But boy, you guys really sound like you're having a
blast. We are.
It's too bad you can't be here.
And it's getting me into the mood of mixing up some strawberry daiquiris or trying out some of your fantastic recipes there. Just the thought of how beautiful they must look. So I was wondering, with those 42-year-old bottles that I have in my cabinet that are open and have been for all those years, and we never used all of it up, and we didn't really buy that much, but we're not that much on the drinking, should I just dump them out?
You know what I would say? Alcohol doesn't improve with taste or age with time, so just depending on how you store them, or did you set them upright or turn them on the side? Because if you sat them upright, chances are they probably are bad, because air will seep through even what you think is a airtight sealing on a bottle, which is it's not. That's why wines are stored on the side, and wines can be stored for years and years and years as well. So how did you store them? Did you stand them up?
They're upright.
They're upright. Oh, we might have a problem. But what I would tell you to do is open it up, smell it. That should be your first indication. If it really has a smell that's something really, really off from what alcohol normally smells like, I would probably not use it. And if you feel like it's safe to go, then I think you should try, especially with that rum, make a really nice strawberry daiquiri and see what happens. But I would probably still just taste it on its own just to make sure your palate doesn't, like, disagree with it.
Oh, okay. And on a strawberry daiquiri, can you have it so that you spoon it out almost like a sherbet, or are you supposed to have it more liquidy?
Well, you know what? You can do it either way. Are you trying to use it as a dessert? Because why not even use sherbet and maybe put your rum on top of the sherbet if that's what you like? I tend to, when I make any kind of frozen drinks, I kind of like a certain consistency with it. So I'll err on the side of kind of like a shake thickness just so that it has a little bit more body.
All right. Well, sounds I good. Think this Memorial Day weekend, I'm going to try some out. So thank you so much.
You have fun, and let us know how it turns out.
Good luck, Dorothy, and be careful with those 42-year-old liqueurs.
I think they're down the drain.
That sounds like it. Well, you've got extra space in your liquor cabinet now. Thanks for the call. So we've been talking with Dr. Mixologist Daryl Robinson, taking your calls, and also he's multitasking. He's talking, mixing, and pleasing all of us in studio all at the same time with these great cocktails. Give us a call, 866-675-6675. We'll be right back after the break.
You can reach Living Today all day by emailing livingtoday@marthastewart.com.
Living Today on Martha Stewart Living Radio, Sirius XM 110.
Welcome back to Living Today. I'm Thomas Farley, Mr. Manners. We are wrapping up a wonderful hour of cocktail sipping and sampling with Dr. Mixologist. He is taking your questions. If you've got a cocktail that you're looking to prepare and you need a special ingredient to give it an extra kick, you let him know and he will find that right ingredient for you. We're at 866-675-6675. And if you like the sound of any of the recipes that you've been hearing from Dr. Mixologist, which we've been enjoying so thoroughly here in studio, and you need the recipe, you can email us at livingtoday@marthastewart.com. So I think we have time for one more cocktail. These are also, as cocktails should be, they're also cleverly named. The next one is called the Hex. So is this going to put some kind of a voodoo spell on all of us? Or again, are we going to pass out after we take a sip?
I was at a loss for a name for this, and being that we're using antioxidants again, I was like, what can I come up with this? This kind of like, I don't know, just out there a little bit. Right. I came up with the hex.
Okay, I like it. Fun.
Relatively simple cocktail here, guys. We're going to muddle some blueberries, mint leaves, agave syrup, grapefruit juice, and we're going to use a really, really cool cognac, which is a little bit overproof.
Right.
It's like a 53 percentile, which is 106 proof. Most cognacs are 40%, 80 proof. This is a little bit higher than that, but it's got a lot of citrus notes and fruit notes. So it's really going to be like a nice cocktail ingredient.
Okay.
This is Louis Royer's Force 53 cognac. Mm. Okay. So after you muddle those blueberries, you add your grapefruit, you add a little agave nectar. Guys, I'm not really a huge fan of necessarily muddling the mint leaves, and I'll tell you why. Because mint leaves have these little veins in them. If you break the vein, it tends to add a little bit of a bitter taste to your cocktail. So what I tend to do is I take my nice pinch of mint leaves, I put them in my hand, and listen to this. Now, I didn't just slap Thomas. I slapped the mint leaves, okay? There you go.
Thankfully.
Now the mint leaves are going in the cocktail.
And that was not the sound of somebody falling to the floor.
No, it was not. No, it was not. And then I told you about this really, really nice cognac that I'm going to use, Louis Royer, where the top was off and I kind of spilled a little bit on myself, but you didn't see that.
The beauty of radio.
The
spills are not visible.
Anyway, like I said, it's got a lot of citrus fruit flavors in it. It is overproof.
So overproof, that means we've got to be a little bit careful.
Be a touch careful. Yeah. Just a touch careful.
Okay.
I'm not sure if I added the agave nectar, guys, so I'm just going to add a little bit more. So I'm sure Thomas will let me know if it's too sweet. Won't you, Thomas?
Yeah, I actually don't tend to like my cocktails overly sweet, so that's something I'm very sensitive to. I'll let you know right away.
Now, I am doing that vigorous shake thing here, and I'm going to give it a quick taste, because like Thomas said, he doesn't like his cocktails overly sweet. So if I made a mistake, like most of us will do, I will correct it before Thomas tastes it and has the chance to tell me it's too sweet. So I'm going to give it a quick little taste. I'm thinking that overproof cognac should actually balance it out.
Dampen the sweetness a little bit.
You know what? I'm going to fix it.
Okay.
And that's what this is all about.
All right. So this is evidence, folks, that even the experts sometimes need to correct mistakes.
There you go. I just added a little bit more cognac. I'm going to dash just a splash more grapefruit juice inside. And I think I should be pretty good to go because I don't need any more mint leaf. It definitely had enough minty flavors going on.
I have to say, I really do love the use of all the fresh fruits and ingredients. I mean, that really, and it seems like that is the trend, certainly in bars these days and, you know, all the high-end hotels that have got great cocktail lounges.
Yes.
It's all about the fresh ingredients.
I feel like I stopped at a farmer's market on the way here, all this fresh fruit around.
And this, of course, is the time of year for that. So
yes,
it's, you know, again, we talked about the blueberries, strawberries in season now in many parts of the country. So it's an exciting time to be able to enjoy that produce, both, you know, in a dessert, but in a cocktail, too.
There we go. Thomas, I want you to try it first.
Okay. Thank you very much. This looks beautiful. So now this actually in color, this reminds me of maybe something like an apple juice in color. It's got that kind of color and look to it. Not quite as ruddy as some of the other cocktails we had.
And the garnish on this would be a couple of blueberries skewered just so you break up the color and add a little color to it.
Oh, I really do like this. I have to say, I think it is definitely not too sweet, which makes me happy. And I think the Negroni was probably my favorite for the sophisticated layering of the flavors, but this is a close second. I like it a lot.
Yeah. And for those who don't really get into cocktails, why don't we just touch on something else that you can do if you're not brave enough to do the cocktail thing yet.
Yeah, and I think, although actually before we even do that, we do have a question.
Yes,
We're going to go to Ryan in Maryland. Ryan, welcome to Living Today.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Of course, yeah. What's your question for Dr. Mixologist?
Hey, Ryan.
How are you, sir? I was calling, I had some questions about making some fresh sour mix from scratch. What would I use, how would I make the simple syrup, and how would I go about it from start to finish?
Well, from start to finish, I would use lemons, fresh lemons. So you probably want to get maybe 16 ounces of fresh lemon juice started. I would do equal portions of water to that. So I would do probably another 16 ounces of water, but that water would be a combination of sugar and water. That would be your simple syrup. So maybe 16 ounces of simple syrup as well, because lemons are very, 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 very tart. And the other thing you can do is maybe splash a little bit of orange juice in there just to balance out all of that tartness. It kind of smooths out your sour mix. There are a couple of recipes that I've used, and I'm going to tell you this. I've used egg white in it as well because I kind of like a frothiness at the top, but you have to be very careful with egg white because it has to be refrigerated, and it doesn't really have a very long refrigeration shelf life. So when you start dabbling in and using things like egg whites, just be careful. So just for your basic recipe, 16 ounces of lemon juice. Squeezed, freshly squeezed, dash a little bit of orange juice in there if you just want to break it up a little bit, or squeeze some fresh oranges in it as well. And then your simple syrup, which is half sugar, half water, 16 ounces of that to the 16 ounces of lemon.
Okay.
Okay, great.
Sounds easy enough. Thanks for the call, Ryan. So, okay, we have one more. This one is the easiest one of all because it doesn't require any vigorous shaking. It doesn't require any muddling, any fresh ingredients.
None.
It just requires a little bit of deftness with a corkscrew.
There you go. And I've already opened it, and I've let it breathe a little bit. It's relatively young. It's called George DeBoeuf's Beaujolais Village 2009 and made from 100% Gamay grapes. And, guys, this wine is full enough to be enjoyed with a hamburger or with barbecue. It's a red wine, and this is a red wine that should be served slightly chilled, so you can still get that idea that it's great around a barbecue. I'm going to let Thomas and friends in here sample some of this. Really easy. It's ready to drink now. You can just open it up and go. There's, like I said, no mixing, no muddling. And everybody doesn't always want a cocktail, or this could be in addition to.
All right, this looks beautiful. Fantastic. And this is this a vintage that we're drinking here, Daryl?
2009, yes.
2009,
yes.
Great. Okay.
I remember that year. It was barely, but I do.
Mm. Well, just not even 2 years ago.
I just want to say, I mean, that's something that I always do when I entertain. You know, like I had a party not too long ago, and it was based around the idea that we were going to make a cocktail. We had one special drink that we were like, come over, and we're going to make you this cocktail called the Green Beast. But then I also made sure to have like a little bit of beer and a couple bottles of wine because not everybody wants to have a cocktail.
True.
Some people, you know, and then also like kind of just like not just mixers, but just seltzers and sodas and things like that. I always have to prepare for any positive situation.
That sounds like the perfect host.
Yeah. I am a tremendous host and also modest.
Why are we not surprised? Why are we not surprised? No, he definitely gives off that great host vibe. I love this wine too. It does feel like it would pair very nicely with just about anything. Not necessarily the stereotypical meats, but really anything that you might serve at a barbecue, picnic, beach party, dinner party. Seems really versatile.
Yeah, it's got nice black cherry and currant hints and short finish. Very easy, but it's got enough body that it won't get lost with a burger, you know?
Well, Daryl Robinson, Dr. Mixologist, these cocktails have been spectacular. You've introduced us to some great recipes. Again, if you were not taking copious notes as we were going through each recipe, you want to email us for those recipes and do so at livingtoday@marthastewart.com. Daryl, for those who want to follow you and gain more insights and wisdom from the guy who knows liqueurs and cocktails inside and out, how do we do that?
Go to www.drmixologist.com.
Okay. And are we on Twitter, too?
I'm on Twitter under Daryl Robinson, and I'm on Facebook as well, Daryl Robinson and or Dr. Mixologist.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for bringing this in. I don't know. I wish we could share all these still nearly full bottles with all of our listeners. We've got so much left over, but thank you for bringing all that in. It was really terrific. And I've just so thoroughly enjoyed being with all of you for the last 2 days. It's been terrific. Thank you for all of your phone calls and for listening, for being such enthusiastic supporters of the show. And thank you, too, to my wonderful producers, Naomi and Carrie, and our engineer, Chris, who are just fantastic, making sure that everything here happens so flawlessly and without a hitch. We've got a great Memorial Day weekend coming up for all of us. I can't wait. I know you can't too. Enjoy it, guys. Thanks so much.